Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. A lot of wrestling going on. Money in the Bank matches are set and they are final. We want to start right there tonight with WWE Women's Money in the Bank. Has crowned its final participant on this past Monday night. We saw in a gauntlet match that Sasha Banks outran the gauntlet, and she is the final participant for the Money in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up on June 17th. Let's go through our participants. We have Ember Moon, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Lana, Naomi, and Sasha Banks in this Money in the Bank. This is the one that Sasha Banks has not been able to get to. She's been in every other crowning inaugural women's match there was, and Money in the Bank was the one that eluded her. And now she's in Money in the Bank, and she's been in everything. What's your thoughts on Sasha Banks getting in the Money in the Bank with it?
It could change my prediction on who I think would win. But, Sasha is pretty much – she's kind of that one you got to put in there in the sense of it's not going to be Charlotte because, Charlotte has other business to take care of. And you can't – Charlotte has already been given so many other things. I mean, they gave her Oscar streak. So at this point, you know what I'm saying? It's – what else can you give Charlotte? But Sasha, she's a good face of the company to say, hey – she was in this match, for the women.
But she lost most of those matches, though, that she's been in. If you look at the
most of those I think she's lost all of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She lost all of them. In all the inaugural matches that she's been in, she's lost all of them. I'm not saying that she's going to win Money in the Bank. That's not my prediction as of today. But I think she needed to be in there. I don't see any other woman in the roster that could have made on the Raw roster that could have been a last spot. And I know some people out there might argue out there Ruby Riott, maybe even argue Mickie James. But it wasn't going to be Liv Morgan. It wasn't going to be Sarah Logan. It wasn't going to be Dana Brooke. It was only between – and somebody said, well, how about Bayley? Well, guess what? Bayley doesn't fit in with this group of girls right now, in my opinion. Bayley doesn't fit in with your Alexa Bliss. She doesn't fit in with your Natalya. And somebody said, well, we'll go take Lana out. Well, guess what? You throw Lana in there. Lana's in there because of the total divas factor. That's why I think Lana's in this match. Not because she's a great talent, not because she's a great worker, because she's on Total Divas. And I think this will be a segment on Total Divas that Lana got into the ladder match.
Yeah, Lana, Naomi, and Natalya are all in the ladder match, and they're on Total Divas. So,
yeah, I think this is going to be a big ploy in the Total Divas series or season this year. The ladder match was Lana was in it, So before you go out there and beat me up and say, oh, Bayley should be in there. But really, what has Bayley done in the last year, Wizard? What has she really done?
I hear you.
I mean, really, she hasn't done much since she came to the main roster. She's not the Bayley from NXT. She had that feud with Alexa Bliss, they had their strap match or whatever you want to call it. And that was it. Bayley's run has been lackluster on the main roster. She had a feud with Sasha Banks, which really never culminated into anything because they really never had a big one-on-one match at a major pay-per-view. They had it on Monday Night Raw. We didn't see it at WrestleMania. And they still got this on-again, off-again feud, but it's not really been it. Should Bayley be in this match?
No, it's not necessary. There's enough women around in the rotation that you don't need her in it.
Don't need Bayley in the match. Let's shift gears. Let's go to the men's Money in the Bank. The final spot was also crowned this week on SmackDown, which we saw a triple threat match for the final spot before the Money in the Mills Money in the Bank ladder match, we saw Big Cass take on Samoa Joe, take on Daniel Bryan. And some of you may say, Big Cass, that's right, Big Cass finagled his way into the match. They're making a triple threat match coming back on SmackDown this past Tuesday night, saying that he wasn't hurt, that he is clear to wrestle. And, hey, our new GM, or the GM, Paige, put him in made it a triple threat match between Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, and Big Cass. Big Cass had a decent showing in the match. So did Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe made Daniel Bryan pass out. Goes down in the records book as a submission. Daniel Bryan didn't tap, but he did pass out. Samoa Joe got the win. And Samoa Joe is your final participant in this men's ladder match. Right now, the participants for the ladder match is Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and one of the New Day, whether it's Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, or Big E Langston. Wizard, do you think they got it right by having Samoa Joe instead of Daniel Bryan in this ladder match?
At this point, Daniel doesn't need the match, so you don't need to have him in it. It's fine. It's totally fine.
I like Daniel Bryan not being in it, not because he doesn't need it, but I like the fact they keep him in the, once again, they keep him and the Miz away from each other.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That's a great point.
That's the thing I like. Him and the Miz are away from each other, and you can hold it and you keep it for a SummerSlam. I hope WWE keeps it for a WrestleMania. Keep them away from each other until WrestleMania next year in New York City. To me, it would be great. And so I like the fact that we don't get a Daniel Bryan and Miz catching each other until it really counts, which is a singles match, a one-on-one match. So I like Samoa Joe in this match. I like Samoa Joe being a ladder match. As long as Samoa Joe continues to stay healthy, I think Samoa Joe is a major player over there on SmackDown. Not only is he a major player on SmackDown, but he's a major player in the WWE, period. Could you imagine Samoa Joe winning the Money in the Bank briefcase, Nakamura winning the title over AJ Styles, and then we have Joe and Nakamura again. And those who watch NXT know how great those matches were in the NXT brand. There were great matches with Joe and Nakamura.
Right.
Or you get AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. What a smack in the face that would be for TNA, but it would be on the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You know.
Yeah, you're right. That's crazy. It is crazy. It's still crazy to see all of them in there. I mean, what did we just have recently? Bobby Roode and Kevin Owens, right?
Right.
That's not TNA, but still, it's like, you know, wow, that's a big deal to get that match.
It is. I mean, you get Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, and Bobby Roode wins, you know? Kate won't get that. Sorry, take that back, because whoever wins the briefcase is on their brand. Only can cash it in on their brand.
Right.
Won't be cashing in on bread, so you won't get that. This is the biggest question for you, Wizard. I really want you to think about it. I'm gonna let you go first. Which one of the New Day do you see being in the ladder match?
You know what, though? Honestly, I think it's gonna be Big E.
Boy, we think alike. God, dog. I was hoping you were gonna say Xavier Woods like everybody else.
Nah, I think it's going to be Big E. Because everybody else has something. I mean, in my opinion, although none of them are a joke per se, but in order to take New Day legitimately seriously in that match, I think it has to be Big E in it. As much as you want it to, the Xavier factor is he's a fresh face. He could be new in there, you know. And Kofi is the veteran. And Kofi's the one that, okay, you want to get it to him, if anybody. But it's like the legitimate threat to win it is Big E. And he's like a dark horse. He could win it.
He could win it. And, you know, people want Kofi because of the nostalgia, or he's going to do something that woo us or make us go wild for that moment. And this match with these participants, I can't see Kofi Kingston winning. If this was 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I would say, you know what, Kofi could win this. Right now, Kofi's just not in that place, you know, and in my opinion, he's not in that place. Big E, Xavier Woods is coming up. We saw on this past week at SmackDown, Xavier Woods getting a lot of time in the ring, showing us what he really could do, and with a lot of work when they was in a triple threat, when a triple when they was in a six-man match. We knew they'd taken on The Miz and The Bar. We saw Xavier Woods put in work. But Big E, to me, is the guy that would fit with those type of guys in this match. Big E could fit, match power with Braun Strowman. Big E could match power with Kevin Owens, could hang with Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and Rusev. You got all these big guys in this match. So I think Big E will fit well in this match with these guys, and Big E can go. But let's not forget, Big E was former NXT champion. You know what I'm saying? Big E has been former Intercontinental champion. Big E has been multiple times, two-time tag team champion. So it's
four
Big E is not
tag
four
team time, champion.
Give me four times. Give me four times tag team champion. Big E is, you know, has been at a top level. He's wrestled at top level. And I think this match will work well for Big E. He is a big guy, but we've seen Big E do some high-flying moves that we're accustomed to in ladder matches. I would like to see Big E in this match. I know that we probably won't get an announcement from New Day until that day. But I like to see Big E in this match, in the ladder match, with Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe. I think Big E fits well. I don't think we don't need a highlight reel from Kofi Kingston anymore.
Right.
I think we've seen enough of those. So let Big E be in this match. Xavier Woods maybe next year. Hey, we hope go. We'll give our predictions later on down the road, maybe next week, week after next. But right now, I like the ladder match. Do you like who's in this match?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think it has a, you know, an interesting dichotomy of guys that are in it. So I absolutely agree. I think it does well.
Let's go to something else that we saw Monday Night Raw. Myself, you was also, we was here at Monday Night Raw in Richmond, Virginia, from this past Monday Night Raw. We saw Nia Jax, and I had to go back and watch this when I got home. In the arena, it seemed to me as if she was making that turn to become a heel, that she was going to turn to a heel. But when I went home and I actually watched it, this wasn't a heelish behavior whatsoever, in my opinion. Hmm. I didn't think it was heelish behavior. It was basically, to me, my opinion, was behavior like, look, you're into my world now. You're into my arena. I am the champion, Ronda Rousey, and this is what happens to you when you're in my arena. You better come with something better than the armbar. You better come with something better than who you think you are. You never faced a 272-pound woman like me. You're 150-some pounds. I'm 272, and you can't beat me in my arena. I don't think that was heelish. You know, I think it was more so, hey, this is what I do, and no, she's not being a bully. You know, a bully would be talking about all the bad things that happen around Ronda Rousey or picking on Ronda Rousey. She's just saying, look, this is my domain. You want the title? Come get it. You're going to have to come through me, and you better bring us something other than the armbar. Your thoughts on Nia's / heelish, not heel move? Was it a heel turn, do you think, or was it just her calling Ronda?
It was a heel turn, at least for the premise of this match. And honestly, I don't think you could go anywhere else. I mean, you ran into a situation where Nia was due for the championship. However, because Alexa was such a heel, you had to make Nia face for that match. Now they're putting Nia back where she belongs, as a heel. And so now it's transitioning back to that, and now Nia can play the heel in this match.
Yeah, I just think she'll, after this match, she'll snap back to the fun-loving Nia Jax that everybody wants her to be. And I think because that's what, to me, for the WWE, that's what sells. With her being on Total Divas, if you really look at Total Divas and she's on the show, what heels do we actually have on that show? There's really not too many heels on the Total Divas show. All the girls are fun-loving, this, that, and the other. And I know when you're looking at it, you're talking to a different type of fan, but I just believe those ladies who watch E! Total Divas and those men who watch Total Divas who are casual wrestling fans switch over and want to see those same type of personality. And they can't separate the difference. So I think Nia is slowly but surely – and you do need some more heel women on Monday Night Raw. You can't just have the Riot Squad. But – for you just to come off the line with Nia Jax, quote unquote, being bullied, for her now to turn heelish, and I'm not saying she's bullying anybody, but just to be that more aggressive, I don't think it's a heel turn. Just my opinion.
Fair enough. I respect that.
But the funniest segment from this past Monday Night Raw, which I thought was one of the better segments that was done already for Monday Night Raw, was the B-Team Barbecue. If you missed the B, I thought that stuff was funny. I thought the B-Team Barbecue was funny. I thought it was good there. I thought having, which they're growing on me. Bo Dallas, they're growing. Bo Dallas is funny on the mic. You want to call him Curtis Axel. It's funny with the things he's saying outside of his mind that he says out loud. And that's not to mention, they got two wins. Even though it was over Fandango, they got two wins. But nah, they're growing. They had to find something for these two guys after the Miz left, and I think they're growing into their own. WWE's doing a good thing with them. One thing that was missing from the B-Team Barbecue was AOP. When you talk about teams, and that's one thing I did notice, they call these guys up, and they're missing from these B-Team Barbecue. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Were they called up too soon? And why do you call them up if you don't have anything for them?
That's what I'm wondering, honestly. You call them up, and you literally have nothing for them. And the same thing with Sanity. It's like, and you know, and I'll be honest, I've missed SmackDown the past 2 weeks just from watching games and going to get all this other stuff. Sanity has not debuted yet, have they?
They have not. Sanity has not debuted yet.
Yeah, so that's weird. If there's nothing for these guys, just leave them in NXT. But then again, I see their premise of it because there was nothing else left for either team in NXT at this point.
I beg to differ, though. With AOP, with the War Machine, or what they call the War Raiders, that's down there, that would have been a good match.
Yeah, it would have been a good match, but how much of AOP are you going to leave down in NXT at this point?
Right, but you brought them up and you put them on, and I'm not against bringing them up, but bring them up and put them on SmackDown, Bludgeon Brothers and AOP.
Yeah, but that pretty much monopolizes everything.
You know? I mean, you got the Revival who really haven't been revived yet. They need to revive the Revival, you know, since their injuries have sidetracked them. B-Team Barber, Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews, you know, they haven't really been kicking and moving like they needed to be. But nonetheless, this upcoming Monday night, they will have a tag team battle royal. Winner of the tag team battle royal will be the number one contenders for Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy's tag team title. Funny thing of the night was, I don't know if many people in the arena got it. I caught it. Titus O'Neil saying, "What kind of barbecue is this? Y'all ain't got no seasoning on this food." To me, I thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The hilarious part of the night. Tag team division on Monday Night Raw, I think, is kind of weak. There's no challenges for Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. You got to find somebody. If you look at those tag teams that were in the ring, legitimately, would you want to put your tag team title in any of those teams?
Yeah.
If you're WWE.
I mean, you could, but I mean, are you? I mean, it's the tag division on Raw is already it's a hodgepodge anyway. They pretty much switch fans a few teams. They pretty much switch the entire division from one show to the other, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you have the Ascension, who's never ascended to anything since being called up.
I feel bad for them.
They were NXT. Those guys were the studs. Those guys were the men. They were great tag teams. Get to the main roster, they killed them as soon as they started making fun of the Legion of Doom. Done. People are done.
Right.
You can't compare yourself to them. So, tag team division of Raw needs to get started again. Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews were hot at one time. Fizzled out. Rhino and Heath Slater has not been good since they came from SmackDown over to Monday Night Raw. Not been relevant whatsoever. Fandango was great on SmackDown. Thought they were going to get the SmackDown titles. Thought one day, man, Fandango is the team. People love him. They got over on their own with the Fashion Police. Come over to Raw. Even before they came over to Raw, they cooled down quickly.
No, they definitely did.
You know, And then you got the B team, which we know Bo Dallas' biggest fame is having the NXT title, but what has he done? Most people forgot that he was even in NXT.
A lot of people did. Some didn't, but a lot of people did. I can give you that.
You know, he hasn't done. So they have no legitimate tag teams. The Revival could do it, but they don't have. They're not there enough. So they're not there enough to establish. Then you got AOP, like I mentioned earlier, who is totally missing from the WWE as of right now. So I'm missing in action, Nonetheless, we do have a match. We do have an Intercontinental title match that may be set for Money in the Bank, and I'm happy about this one. I am really enjoying this one. We get to see Elias in a title match, maybe taking on Seth Rollins. If you saw this past Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins interrupted Elias while he was in the ring, and then doing a Seth Rollins match after he gets DQ'd. Elias comes in, not only smashes the guitar off of Seth Rollins' back, but knocks Seth Rollins to the floor where he had to be put on a stretcher. Wizard, are you looking forward to Seth Rollins and Elias maybe at Money in the Bank?
I mean, well, that is definitely happening. They've announced it already, so.
Okay. Maybe I'm looking.
They just announced it like 30 minutes ago or so.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's going to be another, you know, good performance from Seth, with Seth winning. Good build-up with Elias to, you know, make it look like he's a threat, but Seth's winning this.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely.
I think they've built Elias.
They're building Seth to have a long title run. No, let's not get this twisted. Not that Elias isn't worthy. I'm not saying that. But I feel like they're building this to where it's going to really be somebody unexpected to take him off.
I can see that. But I think Elias' time for – I would be mad if Elias won. Let me put it that way. If Elias won an IC title and maybe Seth got it back, I wouldn't be mad. I can see where the long title run is coming with for Seth Rollins. I can see Seth Rollins maybe people may argue with me. If you got a comment, you argue with me, hit me up at GFather7025 when I say this. I can see Seth Rollins being the one to take on Brock Lesnar and beat Brock. I can see Seth Rollins keeping it and going to that route. Only reason being, Seth can use the fact that at WrestleMania 31 that he won the title. Now, we all know that he cashed in on Roman Reigns, but he can still say, Brock, I took the title away from you at WrestleMania 31. They can work it towards that one. He's already called out Brock Lesnar by being a part-time champion or whatever the case may be. He's already said he wants his belt to be presented on Raw every Monday night as the IC champ. I can see them working towards Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, legitimately, with Seth Rollins maybe take on the Beast.
You know, I mean, I can see that, but I see Seth having just such a long run, though.
I mean, his run is going to be long. I think Brock's run is going to be long. I don't think Brock loses until maybe next year at WrestleMania. I don't see Brock losing at SummerSlam. I think Brock Lesnar hangs on to the WWE title, the Universal title, until SummerSlam. Until WrestleMania next year. And maybe then he drops it. To either, you know, insert person here.
I can see him dropping it. I can see Brock dropping it next year at WrestleMania. I can see him not. Honestly, I can see him just not losing it at all until WrestleMania, and convincingly defending it at that.
Yeah, you know, or somebody actually cashing in on him, or somehow, you know, where a Seth Rollins situation happens again, where Brock doesn't get pinned. That is somebody else that they cashed in on in a triple threat match. That's something that can take place. But I think Seth Rollins is right now. Seth Rollins to me is one of the closest guys to being the most the main eventer in WWE that can take the helm from John Cena. I think Seth Rollins can take that where he can be everywhere. And when I say the face of WWE, I'm not just talking about in the ring. because the face of the WWE means much more than just being in the ring. The face of WWE means being able to make public appearances, being able to make a wish, being able to talk to kids, being able to go to schools, being able to be all over the place. And I think that guy is Seth Rollins. Nothing against Braun Strowman. Braun would be a good champion. But do you see Braun Strowman on the Today Show?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
He has that look about it. Yes, I do. Contrary to what you're saying, yes, I do.
I just can't see him caring it. Maybe I'm just too used to Cena being so articulate, and we got 15 years of Cena being on top and Cena being articulate. Then you see had The Rock being articulate, being everywhere. And when I look at that, I look at Seth Rollins, and that's to me what I see. I see that guy being articulate, being able to express, being able to have not only men but women liking him, and people wanting to be around him. And he could be a good brand ambassador for the WWE. Not saying that Braun can't, but I just see that he's that Seth Rollins is that varsity quarterback, you know, that everybody wants, that you see on movies or you see from Varsity Blues, that is real good and everybody wants to be around him. He's that popular kid in high school.
I mean, I hear you, but Ron, it's something appealing about it. But here's the thing. You said on the Today Show, none of the champions were on the Today Show this year that I know of.
Yeah, I was using the Today Show as a figure of speech, as being a mega TV show.
But no, I'm saying it because I know they've done that after Mania.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't do it this year. That's interesting. Huh.
No, they didn't fly anybody out this year to the Today Show. You know, but I think Seth's the next man. In your opinion, who you say Braun? You think Braun is the next guy, the next face of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. Over Roman, they'll turn Roman. They'll finally let Roman at least test the road of The Rock, in the sense of, you know, they tried to force it. So, like, you know, force Rock down everybody's throat, and then they turn heel, and then everybody loves them, and now everybody loves them. They're going to try to do that with Roman, I think. I think that's where they go. I think there's no other choice. They don't have anything left.
Yeah, and they don't. I mean, speaking of Roman Reigns, you know, he wasn't on this past Monday Night Raw. I think the more Roman Reigns stays away from mainstream TV, the better it is for Roman Reigns, the better it is for wrestling right now, that he can hit a reset button on who he wants to be. I like what he did to Jinder Mahal a couple weeks ago, showing that ruthless aggression. I like how he continued to attack. If Roman continued to do that type of stuff, fans are going to cheer him. Fans are going to love him. I know people say, well, he gets booed. You know, I'm not really big for turning him heel. He already get booed. What are you going to get from turning him heel? You know, he's getting booed already anyway. Just to solidify him saying he's healed. You know, not like the boos will stop, but I think they just do the opposite. If he turn heel, people might just start cheering him, you know, because he'd be a cool heel. I think they should let him speak the way he speaks, and not giving him a script. I think he can go off script right now and be able to captivate the people. But it's just my opinion. I think Roman Reigns, the heel turn, who would he turn heel on? I think it has to be the right person. If he turns heel,
here's the thing. You have to have Roman turn heel on a little guy. So let me map this out for you.
Okay.
This is why I thought maybe Roman being in Money in the Bank would have been good, because he could have won it and then cashed in on somebody like a Finn or something like that. He needs to cash in on a little guy. That's pretty much where I'm going with this. He needs to assert his side. It doesn't mean he can't turn heel on anybody. I mean, they can't. And I could be wrong, and somebody may disagree. I don't think he can turn heel on Seth, because it's like, okay, Seth did it first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You could maybe work on Dean whenever he comes back. Maybe. But realistically, somebody like a Finn or. I mean, that's really it. Realistically, he's the only. It's weird. Finn and Seth are like the only pure baby faces they have on Raw in the sense of that top tier. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And
so
if you really want to
right.
And if you really want to solidify his heelship or Roman Reigns being heel, he would have to beat the piss out of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that, see, if it was something like that, absolutely. Because, see, your Daniel Bryans, your AJs, they're over there on SmackDown. So those would be the guys that would be the best candidates. But,
that would be the one that if he really wanted to booze him to go heel, he would have to beat the piss out of Daniel Bryan. And they would have to run a story angle that Daniel Bryan was really hurt. And Roman might have ended his career.
Yeah.
And that would be a way to get the fans really embrace this heel run with Roman Reigns, if they WWE decides to go that way. But we know Roman Reigns takes on Jinder Mahal at Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Well, like I said, we'll give our results, I'll give our predictions here in the upcoming weeks. I want to close the show with this one. And this is something that I noticed the other night. We had him on the show last week, Drew McIntyre. And go back and listen to that show. Go on iTunes and check it out. Drew McIntyre show from last week. Is Drew McIntyre ready for a major run in the WWE and on Monday Night Raw?
He's been ready since he returned in the next team. And I'm not even saying that, oh, he's been on the show, friend of the show, or anything like that. Like, this is real. He's been ready since he's came back. He's got the look. He's got the size. There's not an overbearing feature, like, you know, not knocking anybody. He's not 7 foot tall, or, you know, he's not 350 pounds and can move a car or something. You know, and that works for Braun and Cass. That works for them. But Drew is a legitimate big dude that looks like he could, you know, he could legitimately just beat the piss out of him, you know.
Yeah, I looked at him Monday night, you know, watched his match against Gable on Monday night, and I'm sitting here like, this dude is ripped. And I mentioned to you and Brian H. Waters, check out Brian H. Waters' podcast. I'll break it down with Brian H. Wherever you can find your podcast, that very good show. And I mentioned, like, yo, Drew McIntyre is really ripped. It looks like he's gotten bigger. Looks like he's gotten more cut since the last time we saw him in the WWE ring. He seems like he's more intense. He's more fire. His moves are more crisp. He's maneuvering in the ring. This dude looks like a walking champion in the WWE.
Yeah, no, he does. And like I said, people, don't get it mistaken because he's been on the show. This isn't us blowing smoke up, you know. Up him just to, you know, make him look. He really looks like they could make a legitimate move on him to push him for a very long time. And his timing is down, his matches are crisp. You know, he's got something that he's got what they wanted him to have 5 years ago, you know, when he was there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Even a theme song with the bass drums in the back, it says, like, this is a bad dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It says, this is a bad dude that you don't want to mess with. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see maybe a Drew McIntyre and a Braun Strowman get it on. A Drew McIntyre and a Roman Reigns get it on. By God, at this point, Drew McIntyre and a Brock Lesnar get it on. He might be the one to take it off of Brock. We'll never know. But it will be a good match. I think Drew McIntyre, barring any injury, will be Universal Champion one day in the near future in the WWE.
Absolutely.
This guy is on his top, and he's on his way. He's on his way to the top. Last point, Wizard, we want to close this. Couldn't have this show without talking about the Enzo Amore or the Real Ones video. You know, everybody giving their opinion, everybody giving their thoughts. And I want to hear from the Wizard. What was your thoughts on this video?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to put it this way. And this is going to be common knowledge anyway. I'm always here for Enzo Amore. I do like the guy. I like this character. I like the style. I like the. I liked. The video was okay. I get where he was coming from for it. It doesn't have a traditional hip hop vibe. I mean, it does, but it doesn't in a sense. But with what's out now, he can't. And this isn't to say it sounded bad, but he couldn't be any worse than anybody else that's out right now. Especially if some of the people that are getting airtime now, he could be out there too. But that's not to say that he was bad. Like, oh, he's bad. He has a distinctness about him to where it does come off unique. You could tell there was a lot that he pretty much wanted to say because of the things that happened to him over the last couple of months. So I get it. I get where he was coming from. I get where the vibe was coming from. Some people, it may have come off a little hokey to some people, or it still, how do I put it? It's going to take a lot for him to be, I guess, to other rap aficionados, in which, as I told, you know, you guys in group chat, you know, I said, I'm not a rapper, so he's already done 10 times better than what I ever could with that. So I'll never knock him for that because I can't do it. To other hip-hop aficionados, I guess because he still has the stigma of being a wrestler attached to him, it's going to take a lot to win that crowd over. I think he can, but I think it'll take some work. So it wasn't the worst thing I've heard, but, I mean, this is like his first first single ever. So, I mean, it'll take more, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I don't think it's the worst thing. Anything I thought was funny. And when I say funny, listeners, I'm not talking about the allegations against him. I'm not talking about the women that was involved in the allegations. I don't mean that. I mean the fact that he was willing to come back at the WWE. He was willing to come back at the lady who alleged he had non-consensual sex with her.
Let me stop you right there. I don't think, at least to me, and I could be wrong because you may saw something that I didn't, I don't think he took a shot at WWE. I really don't. And maybe I missed it, but I've heard it. I don't think he took a shot at them because I think he knows, in a sense, that they couldn't do but so much. Like, their backs were against the wall at that point.
Yeah. With the opening with the gentleman, the older gentleman, the internet nerd virgin down in the basement watching the 25th.
See, I think that was a shot. I think that was a shot at the wrestling fans.
Okay.
Who wrote him off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or, you know, just I automatically assumed that everything was true. I think it was that. I don't think he necessarily took the shot at the company. And I think the reason why is because you don't want, granted, they may never hire him again. So I don't think you burn that bridge unless you're really ready to burn that bridge, you know? So, and I don't think, you know, this is not knocking him, but I don't think he's in the position to burn that bridge because that's still a main avenue. And you could hear it in the sense of, you could hear that he was hurt by it. You can hear that he still wants to be a wrestler, at least to me. It sounds like that to me.
He wants to be an entertainer. I'm going to put it that. He wants to be an entertainer. I don't think he wants to be a wrestler. He wants to be an entertainer. And there is a difference. Now, it depends on where he goes. In WWE, he can be an entertainer. If he goes to Ring of Honor, he goes to New Japan, he goes to TNA, he has to be a wrestler.
At TNA, I don't know. I think he could still get away with the same shit in TNA. But I do agree with you with Ring of Honor or New Japan or anywhere else. He can't run that shit. I mean, he could run that gimmick. He could. But it's going to come a point where he'd have to have more ring experience just by the talent that's there. like, you know, you have Enzo Amore in ROH, and you throw him in there with, like, a Jay Lethal or something, that's not going to end well right now, you know?
No.
Not at all. And, you know, my opinion, you know, I'm not in the wrestling business. I don't know how it works. But to me, if it was an Enzo Amore type of character or guy, you know, I would almost be afraid of him coming into the promotion because I feel like somebody's going to shoot on him. And not a gun, folks, but I think somebody's going to legitimately be in a match with him and work him stiff. But yeah, they're going to work him stiff.
Yeah. And then with all the problems that he had in the locker room, I think, you know, WWE was looking for a way out, and this became the way out. You know, by him not
I think that part does suck.
Yeah, this is their way out. He didn't tell them there was an investigation that was on him, whether it's true or not. We're not here to judge. I don't know. I wasn't in that hotel room. I wasn't in Phoenix. You know, one or not. But you need to tell your employer, what is going on with you? I was in an accident the other day with some clients, whatever the case may be. I called my employer and said, look, while I was doing your job, while I was doing my job for your company with clients in the car, I had an accident. You see what I'm saying? This is what took place. He didn't let WWE officials know what was going on with him, and they're like, okay, this is our opportunity to get him out. Let's get him out of here. You know, we can cool down the locker room because he was catching a lot of heat. He was getting kicked off the buses. He was doing everything, you know, that was causing too much heat in the locker room. Let's cool this down and make the boys happy. Enzo, you got to go. Never gonna say never. He may be, but you never know. You definitely never know. But I think the video served its purpose, and a million of you who viewed it will like it. So somebody's making money off of it on YouTube or wherever else they be, because there's over a million views on that video right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's averaging like over 11,000 views an hour. So whatever it is, kudos to him. There's some really pop videos on BET that don't even watch that, don't even catch that number. So. And people in this, that's their full time job. But nonetheless, we digress, man. With another decent show. We appreciate you for joining us as you do each and every week, sharing that wrestling knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like this, you like the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, please check us out on iTunes at Wrestling Marks of Excellence. We also on Google Play. You can catch us on Stitcher, and please subscribe to us on YouTube as well. That's the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Hey, you can follow me, GFather725 on Twitter. Where can they follow you at?
Hey, my kicks are my six.
And you can catch us each and every week here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. Or, once again, you can catch us on iTunes. Please subscribe to the show. Leave a comment. Leave 5 stars there. It would really help us out. And if you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter. All right? I'm Glenn Thomas, the wizard himself. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of stories, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.